Lisa Murray joins me in the studio. We are going to be talking about the history of trains in this wonderful, wonderful town.
We sure are, Nick, because we've got some new content on the dictionary, and of course I really want to share it with you all. And I suppose really trains are still very much a quintessential part of Sydney.
I call it the triumvirate. We've got weather, traffic and trains, and they're the three things that Sydneysiders love to be shocked about and complain about.
I like that triumvirate. That's quite good. And I think the thing about Sydney's trains is they've actually played a really important part in our history in actually shaping how Sydney developed as a town and as a city. And we had two new pieces on the dictionary by a railway historian and enthusiast, Bob McKillop. And I should recognise the kind of collaborative scope of how these sort of pieces of content come about, because Bob's part of the Australian Railway Historical Society.
Yeah.
And he partnered with the Dictionary of Sydney to kind of produce the content and provide his expertise to write it. And we actually were lucky to get a grant from the Transport Heritage Grants Program, which is administered by the Royal Australian Historical Society, which is a massive plug, but to basically show how different organisations like the Royal Australian Historical Society come together with people like the Dictionary of Sydney and other historical societies to really keep researching Sydney's history and getting the information out there. So hooray to all of us.
Hooray, an amazing bit of collaboration. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And so, look, Bob has really pulled a couple of really interesting essays together, one all about how the railways have developed, another one also about some unusual trains that you might not have heard about, which we'll get to in a second. But I just pulled out a few sort of interesting facts about our railway history because I thought that there might be a few things that people weren't aware of.
I was aware of none of these when I had a look at them. None at all.
Well, there you go. Here we go. Our first fact is our first railway line was actually planned to go to Goulburn.
Which is just remarkable to me because I don't know anyone who goes to Goulburn.
I know. Now you think if you're going to go to Goulburn, you'll probably jump in the car or something like that. There was always that promise of the very fast train.
I'd forgotten about the VFT.
Yes, but anyway, we won't go there. Actually, and this was something that I learned as well. Like, I think I know a fair bit about Sydney's history. And I did know that the first bit of it went to Parramatta, and that happened in 1855, but it was actually originally part of a stage one, which was to go all the way to Goulburn.
Wow.
So, yes, so our first train, the stage, they got it built. It was actually built by a private company. It took them 5 years, and it was such a debacle, and there were rising costs, and there were changes of, you know, gauge size and all sorts of things that the government bought it off them and, you know, said, oh, you know, we'll quickly finish the job and get it going. So 1855 is when the first train departed from Sydney and went to Parramatta.
Well, that was quite a distance back then. I'm quite impressed. I assumed.
Yes. Sorry.
I assumed it would have been mostly river travel before that.
Yes. A lot of the travel up to Parramatta was by the river. And you could go by road, but it was a long and bumpy, dusty ride. So the train was very welcome going out there. And I should just say the reason that they wanted it to go to Goulburn was because it was a very important sort of inland production area in terms of growing food, but also wool and pastoral stuff. So that's why. So it wasn't actually about passengers. It was about produce and getting produce to port. But I guess the thing is that, you know, when you have a big occasion like a new railway opening, you've got to have a song.
Of course you do.
And someone stepped up to the mark. And so the Sydney Railway Waltz was composed by William Parling, who Parling might ring a bell in the music scene. There used to be Parling's music stores around.
Oh.
Anyway, the founder, William Parling, wrote this little song. And it was really sort of sheet music composed for piano, which was the great way everyone sort of entertained themselves in the evening. And this piece is complete with sort of gathering up of speed of the train and the train whistle and everything. The National Library has digitized the sheet music, so you can all look at it online through the dictionary, and you might want to download it and try it yourself.
That's beautiful.
So look out for that. The next fun fact, well, I think it's a fun fact, but it's probably a fairly serious matter, is Rookwood Necropolis was serviced by funerary trains.
From Mortuary Street Station, right near Central.
Yeah, Mortuary Station, yes. So the cemetery, Rookwood Necropolis, was established in the 1860s and out at what was then called Haslam's Creek. And everyone was like, it's so far to go, it's going to make funeral costs absolutely skyrocket, and how are the lower classes meant to get, you know, their funeral cortages out there and all this sort of thing. And so the government went, not a problem, we'll build a railway. And so it was actually an extremely novel idea. And so the colonial architect James Barnett actually designed the extraordinary mortuary station.
Beautiful.
That you can still see there on Regent Street. And that is also a marker of kind of where the railways kind of originally started from. And we'll get the reason I say that we'll get to in a minute. So, yes, so Mortuary Station, great Gothic reminder of Sydney's novel way of dealing with things. And there were sort of carriages to take the people out, but then there were also special train carriages which were specifically for the coffins, that were built for the coffins. Yeah. Number four fact. Our first permanent railway terminus was actually built in 1874.
That's interesting. Where was that?
So it was much further back. So we sort of think Central's a big railway station. It's
huge.
Bustling. It's still working. You
looks
know.
Lovely still
looks
when you
lovely.
See it from the right light, and maybe after a hose down. But yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful, the original part. But it wasn't our first railway station. So in 1855, there were plans to build quite a grand station, but the government was cutting costs because the private company took so long, took so much money. So they only built a wooden platform originally.
Oh, wow.
So there was just a single wooden platform covered by a little corrugated iron shed. That was our first railway station. It was meant to be temporary, but it was there for nearly 20 years, maybe about 15, 16. Anyway, in 1871, they decided they better actually start building a proper railway station.
Always nice to have one if you want to be regarded as an actual city.
Yeah, that's right. And so so our first permanent terminal station opened in 1874 and actually fronted Devonshire Street. So it was back further in sort of beside Prince Alfred Park.
Okay.
And that's where it stayed until the turn of the 20th century, when the government decided that actually it'd be better to try and bring it a little bit further into town. And there was actually talk of trying to get it as far as Hyde Park, but people didn't want Hyde Park to be taken over for transport purposes. They wanted it to remain a park.
You don't want an enormous terminus in the middle of Hyde Park.
That's right. So it kind of just inched its way into the edge of town.
Not really very far at all.
Not very far at all. But still to make it, give them more room to actually do the other connections and things that they planned. Now, we started off talking about that we went, you know, the first line was meant to go to Goulburn, and that was for produce. And so my final point is that Glebe Island was actually levelled for the Metropolitan Goods Line.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know, if you go over the Anzac Bridge these days and sort of look down to your right, all you can see is this really flat little area which is now connected pretty much to the mainland, and has got, used to be, you can see some big grain silos, and then there's all these cars there.
Yes.
So it's this big sort of kind of still very much about export and import of goods and things like that. Well, Glebe Island was actually chopped down, quarried down to flatten it so that these big silos could be built in the 20th century, and that they could do a double goods line through the thing, because through the sort of system, because the originally the goods line and the passenger goods trains and passenger trains were on the same lines, but they were being used so much for transport of goods and things that it was actually holding up the passenger train. So the government in the early 20th century decided, well, we better have separate lines. And so they built it all the way from a double track from Dulwich Hill to White Bay and Rozelle, which is sort of Glebe Island, and then eventually around to Darling Harbour, the double lines. And, of course, that's where the light rail goes
now. Of course now, yeah.
So that's a really interesting kind of connection. And the showing the importance right through the 20th century of the transport of goods on the railways to actually support our whole sort of, economic being as a city.
And a commitment to that infrastructure. I mean, these are some huge undertakings by the sound of it. Absolutely amazing.
Yes. And, there were some grand visions, some of which didn't work in terms of the railways, but there was a lot of planning and a lot of foresight. And really, this railway system has actually served us into the 21st century. And there have been some additions and there's still some more additions going on, but they're kind of what are needed to make a city connect and work.
Well, there you go. So next time you're having a bit of a whinge about the public transport, just have a little think about the history of it instead and be proud that we've managed to have something like that last so long. Lisa, thank you so much.
Thanks, Nick.
Where can people read the whole articles about this?
Well, you can go to the Dictionary of Sydney blog, which you can find at dictionaryofsydney.org.
Thank you so very, very much.